Welcome to the Dipe Dive. Today, we're cutting through the noise to bring you the essential knowledge hidden in your source material. And we are diving into a surprisingly poignant story about General Tsuz, Gold Coast real estate, and really the end of an era.
We are. We're dissecting the bittersweet farewell to Jade King, a Chinese restaurant in Roslyn Heights, New York, that was around for a very long time. And this isn't just about a local place closing. I mean, it's a deep dive into what we value in a community landmark versus, you know, what a food critic values.
Right. So our mission today is to understand that complex emotional landscape that forms when a decades-old institution finally shuts its doors. Mm-hmm. And we're using sources that just perfectly capture this tension. We have this almost poetic recent farewell announcement and then a really critical review of the exact same restaurant from over a decade ago.
And that contrast gives us a rare opportunity. We get to measure the legacy, the memories, the community built over 45 years against the actual documented culinary reality of the place. It forces us to ask, does value reside in quality or in just sheer comforting predictability?
So we're setting the stage between legacy and reality with Jade King as our anchor. Let's start with the emotional weight of it all, documented in this piece titled Breaking News, Jade King in Roslyn is Closing.
Yeah, the reaction from the community distilled in this announcement is, well, it's immense grief. The author actually chose to frame this news as an ode, a solemn poem.
Absolutely.
That tells you everything right off the bat. They're mourning the closing of what they call not just a restaurant, but a landmark in Roslyn Heights.
A landmark. They emphasize that this place was a fixture serving the North Shore community for decades. And when you read the language, you realize they're mourning the atmosphere just as much as the food.
That's exactly it. It was characterized by a casual, friendly air, and, this is crucial, it provided comfort food. The ode even brings up specific sensory memories, referencing the scent of General Tsuz, the crispy, savory bite. This wasn't some destination for culinary pilgrims. It was a reliable home base.
It really speaks to the sociological function of places like this. It notes that a community was built where many memories paired. You didn't go to Jade King for a revelation. You went for reassurance, you know, for anniversary dinners, quiet Tuesday nights, that kind of thing.
And that function, that role as a stable anchor, is why the narrative of its closure is so pointed. The article doesn't mince words about why this decades-long institution failed. It wasn't because of a lack of customers.
Not at all. The poem explicitly names the culprits, saying the end came because a landlord's greed has grown and rising costs decreed no quarter could be found. It positions the whole thing as a failure of local economics in the face of, like, hyperinflated Gold Coast property values.
And this is really important context for you, the listener. Roslyn Heights is part of the affluent North Shore. It's a prime location. When you factor in the profitability demands on that kind of real estate, the thin margins of a long-standing neighborhood Chinese restaurant just become untenable. The landlord has a choice, right? A reliable, low-margin tenant built on history, or a high-paying national brand built on scale.
And the source material points out exactly what's replacing this community pillar. It says a new chain comes to take the spot, but then immediately counters that by saying the chain can't replace the history for all the space they've got.
The author is drawing a line in the sand. This is local, tangible history, a place where real people shared real moments, being wiped out and replaced by a generic, high-efficiency corporate entity that, well, lacks soul. The source is very clearly saying that progress in this context just feels like profound loss.
Okay, so that sets up the profound sadness and a clear enemy in the community's mind: corporate expansion and rising costs. But now we have to transition, because to fully appreciate the contradiction here, we have to look at the culinary review from 2013, which takes us from this solemn ode to an incredibly blunt assessment.
Yes, let's flip the coin. This older review is from a team on the Chinese quest, and their stated goal, this is crucial, is to find the best Chinese restaurant on Long Island and in New York City. So their critical lens is focused entirely on authenticity, high culinary quality standards that Jade King apparently wasn't even trying to meet.
They visit the location, 376 Willis Avenue in Roslyn Heights. And even back in 2013, the reviewers noted its impressive longevity, saying it had been in existence for over 45 years. That endurance is just undeniable proof of neighborhood loyalty.
And that loyalty was visible, even on a weeknight. The reviewer noted that on a Wednesday evening, the place was packed with the fine citizens of this North Shore Gold Coast town. So the demand was clearly there, but the reviewers, who were looking for something truly great, tried to sample the staples the locals were supposedly enjoying.
They tried to fit in with the locals, and the order was a classic American Chinese menu. Spare ribs, house wonton soup, lobster Cantonese, eggplant with sautéed chicken, orange beef, and chicken chow mein. Standard stuff that should be reliable, right?
You would hope so, but the resulting assessment is just shocking in its brutality, especially for a place that survived nearly five decades. The reviewer described their selection as, and I quote, "a blander selection of dishes we couldn't have selected."
Wow. That's not a gentle critique. That's a complete write-off.
Oh, it gets worse. The overall reaction from the review team was condensed into two killer phrases: major disappointment and a complete waste of time and energy. I mean, think about the sheer volume of Chinese restaurants on Long Island. For a serious culinary quest team, to call a place a complete waste of time and energy is basically saying it failed on every single metric of quality.
That is just a staggering contradiction. How does a place that's so beloved by a local affluent community, and affluent communities often have high standards for food, how does it manage to be called a major disappointment for decades, yet still survive until economics killed it?
It's the difference between aspiration and function. And the reviewer, maybe inadvertently, gave us the key to the whole mystery. They confessed that the low quality was, and I quote again, "exactly the way I expected it. Expectations were low."
So the critic went in assuming it would be mediocre, and it lived down to those expectations. That suggests that Jade King knew exactly what market it was serving. The market that valued consistency over, you know, innovation or authenticity.
Exactly. The Chinese quest is searching for the regional best, the perfectly crafted mapo tofu or something. Jade King was offering a predictable, low-stakes comfort zone. You knew what you were getting, and for the local community, that certainty was the product.
Okay, but in that sea of disappointment, was there any ray of light at all? Because if the food was that bad, something else had to be keeping people coming back.
There was one specific saving grace, and it wasn't edible. The reviewer highlighted the pleasant banter from John, our waiter, who served well. The human connection, the service, was the only positive takeaway.
That detail is so vital. The human element, the familiarity of John the waiter, is what solidifies a community spot. People are returning not for the best general tones, but because they know John, and John knows their order.
And we do have to quickly mention a mitigating factor that came up later. 2 years after that brutal review, a follow-up comment was added in 2015, suggesting the restaurant got new management, renovations, and a new menu. They were trying to mimic a high-end style, like Mr. Chow's.
That's fascinating. It suggests maybe the owners recognized the criticism and tried to pivot toward higher quality, aiming for that best category. But it seems even if they did try to climb the culinary ladder, it wasn't enough to save them from the economic realities that eventually forced the closure in the 2020s.
Right. That potential pivot just serves as a tragic footnote. I mean, whether they became a culinary success or remained a disappointment, the landlord's financial demands ultimately made the food quality irrelevant to the final outcome.
Okay, so now we get to the true deep dive, the synthesis. We have a place called a major disappointment that anchored a community for nearly half a century. How do these two realities coexist?
They coexist because they're answering different questions. The critic is asking, is this food excellent? The community is asking, is this place reliable? And Jade King survived because for decades, the answer to the community's question was a resounding yes.
But I have to challenge that a little. Roslyn Heights is an area that can afford access to great food. Shouldn't the community eventually demand better than bland if they're paying Gold Coast prices?
That's where the concept of geographic loyalty comes in. The restaurant wasn't competing with the best Chinese food in Manhattan. It was competing with the hassle of cooking dinner after a long day. It offered a guaranteed outcome. You know the portions, you know the taste, and you know John will be there.
It's the low stakes nature of the experience. It reduces decision fatigue. You walk in, you order the usual, and everything feels safe and familiar. That's a service in itself, maybe more valuable than a Michelin star in the chaos of daily life.
And we can find a deep, almost philosophical echo of this in the 2013 review itself. Not in the food, but in the fortune cookies the critics received. They're these small, throwaway details, but they perfectly capture the ethos of a resilient community spot.
Really? Tell us what these philosophical insights were.
They were stunningly relevant. One fortune read, "People learn little from success, but much from failure." This is the restaurant's epitaph. Jade King learned how to succeed by being reliable, not brilliant, maybe learning from its culinary shortcomings.
And what else?
Another fortune touched on that human element we just discussed. Service to many leads to greatness, which speaks directly to the excellent service of John the waiter, the one true bright spot in that review. But the most resonant message, the one that perfectly encapsulates this idea of consistency in the face of critique, was the final one. The stars appear every night in the sky. All is well.
All is well. That is the vibe that kept Jake King going, isn't it? It's the reassurance that despite everything, this place is stable, predictable, anchoring the neighborhood, until it wasn't.
Precisely. That message of stability was the true commodity Jade King sold. And that message was ultimately contradicted not by customer taste, but by the overwhelming economic environment of the North Shore. The real tragedy is that the all-is-well mentality just couldn't withstand the rising rent.
It brings us right back to that stark contrast laid out by the farewell ode. The community lost its reliable anchor, its consistent, dependable home base, not because it failed in its function, but because that function was priced out to make way for a corporate chain.
And the sources show us unequivocally that the value of an establishment, especially one that anchors a community for decades, is often found outside of the critic's score. Its real worth is measured in the sheer volume of guaranteed, predictable experiences it provides. And when that sense of constancy is ripped away, the entire community feels the drift.
So we've gone from a bland 2013 meal to a heartfelt 2025 farewell. The story of Jade King is less about the quality of the General Tso's and much more about geography, familiarity, and the inherent instability of being a local fixture in an ever-inflating real estate market.
It's a powerful lesson in consumer behavior and emotional geography.
Huh?
We pay for quality sometimes, but you know, a lot of the time we're really just paying for certainty.
And that leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to consider as you wrap up this deep dive. When you look at your own long-standing local favorites, the places you return to time and time again, the ones you know are never going to win a culinary award, are you fundamentally paying for great food? Or are you actually paying a premium for the guarantee of getting exactly what you expect time after time until that very necessary consistency is inevitably priced out of your neighborhood? Think about what you are truly mourning when that reliable old anchor finally closes its doors.